Okay. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2. We've been zeroing in on the seven evil spirits. It's absolutely in operation today. Absolutely in operation today. All right. And we're going to look at them again. And we're going to see these spirits. And I hope that you're seeing what the impact these spirits are making in our world and in individual lives. In the world and individual lives. These spirits are real. They're evil. They came from the seven nations that were occupying in and around Israel, because Deuteronomy 7, verse 1 and 2 talks about them, and Joshua even designates that the Hittites were owners of the land of Israel and they wanted back. So if you understand these spirits, you can see, you know, well, that's just the devil, okay? You could see what's going on in the Mideast. You can actually see and understand these spirits in operation and actually see them work. Actually see them work. And all these terrorist groups, how they function, how they work. Like the Amalekites were the first ones to attack Israel after they went across the Red Sea. And Hamas attacks Israel. Hamas, and you can see that correlation. Now, today we're going to look at another one of these spirits in Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2. It's the Persites. Now, let's look at what they do. This spirit is a dream robber, promoting a permanent shame and inadequacy. A person feels inadequate all the time. A person feels ashamed all the time. Well, I can't do that. That's that influence of that spirit. They work with the Jebusites, Gershites, and the Amorites. They work as a group. Now, the name means belonging to a village, smallness, and limited vision. That's what this name means. That's what this group, this culture, which is actually demonic spirits, means: belonging to a village. Smallness. Think of a tiny village, tiny town, limited vision. The reason the village is small is because they don't have any vision for growth. It also means little potential. Little potential. Little potential. See, these spirits affect communities. They have that thinking. They have that mindset. Could it be that churches have that same mindset? We'll never get any bigger, we'll never be any better, we'll never be able to grow, we'll never have a ministry, we'll never have an outreach. Spiritual stagnation, poverty, both areas, in the natural realm and the spiritual realm. We can't do anything in this church because we don't have any money. We can't build a new building because we don't have any dollars. We can't have a big outreach because we don't have the money for a big outreach. We can't even have a chicken dinner. See, that's that attitude of that spirit. And you see that in people. I'll never get a bigger job. I'll never get a better job. I've been here, and that's what I've been doing, and that's what I shall ever do. And there's no hope for me ever get a promotion in my corporation or who I'm worked for. That's that spirit in operation. It's a spirit of smallness. How long have you been there? Well, I've been there 25 years. Great. You know, and I make the same salary I made when I came here. Hello. And the only reason I get more money is because the minimum wage increased by the government. You see? Personally, I'm against minimum wage. It takes away resourcefulness. It really does. It takes away creativity. And it causes a person that has been in a job working, and making that company go, a new person comes on board and they make the exact same money as a person who's been there for 5 years who made the company work well. So it takes away initiative. It really does. Stagnation happens. Now, spiritual stagnation, poverty, both areas in the natural and spiritual realm. All right, let's look at 2 Samuel, chapter number 4, verse 4. 2 Samuel, chapter 4, verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and he became lame. Notice what's happening here. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now, know what that name means? It means shattered, broken. When that boy was born, that was not his name. It says his name was, yeah, but it didn't mean, look what happened to him. Shameful thing. This is the guy, shameful thing. You would call it, hey, shameful thing, when you wanted to talk to him. Hey, shameful thing. You want to call him a name? Hey, break in pieces, shattered, shameful thing. That's what they would call him. Wow. Think of that. You talk about an individual that'd be under the spirit that we're talking about. That's the guy. Hey, where's shameful thing? Where's broken in his feet? That's his name meant that. Now, David, we know that, loved Jonathan. They were so was knit together. And as things progress, Jonathan is killed in battle. Saul is deposed, and David is king. Okay, in just a few chapters. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, we just looked at 2 Samuel, right? Look how quick this was in the scripture. We just looked at 2 Samuel 4. 2 Samuel 9, verse 5. Now, David is king. And sent and fetched him out of the house of Machor. That word means sold. Sold. He got out of the house of sold. And the son of Amichael, which means Kingsman of God. Look these names up. When you're doing a Bible study, some of the greatest study you ever do is the names that are mentioned in the Word of God. You talk about enrichment and spiritual lessons, all the names. And I do. I looked them up. And the location was in Lodiar, which means without a pasture. Probably nothing but rocks. Nothing but rocks. Now, I want you to see something here. Because if you keep reading, you're going to have some insight. Now, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David. He fell on his face and did reverence, and David said, Mephibosheth, you shall answer, behold thy servant. Okay, what could he say here? 7. And David said to him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan for thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Now shall you eat bread at my table continually. Now look at this. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such as a dead dog as I am? Wow. That's, you can't, low self-esteem? You can't get any lower than that and call yourself a dead dog. Crippled. Lame people cannot walk on their own. Walking the ability to conquer, establish kingdom authority. No, dead dogs. That's what this spirit wants people to be, Christians to be, dead dogs. And they're everywhere. I'm not calling them that. They call themselves that. Well, I'm just no good. I just can't do anything. I can't boil water. That's the type of thing we're talking about. I have no skill. I don't have any ability at all. I can't even walk and chew gum. That's that spirit right there. That's that spirit right there. I'll never get promoted on my job. That's that spirit right there. It's exactly what that is. Now let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Here's what it says. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place. I love that. That the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. Wow. Now, I'm going to put some scriptures together here. Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 13. Go to Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to show you something here. Look at verse number 17. Genesis 13. All right, 17. Abraham, this is the Abrahamic covenant. Abrahamic covenant. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Okay. Then Abram moved his tent and came unto dwell in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I've been ministering in Grace Point on Sundays about 100 days of blessing in the summer. And that was part of one of the messages that I preached for 15 weeks. We're starting again called favor in the fall. And that started Sunday. And 70 days of favor, which will take us up to Thanksgiving. Now, I want you to see. Go walk the land. Walk everywhere, everywhere, everywhere you walk, you get. And Abraham does exactly that. Now, let's put one more scripture together here. Let's go to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5, 6 through 11. Look, it's just amazing when you put these passages together. All right. Judges chapter 5, 6 and 11. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Joel, look at this. Highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. Or basically, they didn't walk on the roads. They walked through the woods. It's through their desert is what they would do. Look at this. 7. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, rose, that I arose a mother in Israel. It boggles my mind. 8. And they chose new God. There was war in the gates. There was a shield, a spear among 40,000 Israel. Or don't we have any kind of weaponry here? Verse 9. My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. 10. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. Look what Deborah's saying. 11. And that they delivered from the noise of the archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteousness acts of the Lord, even the righteousness acts toward the inhabitants of the villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Now, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. The villages were empty. They all got out of town. That's the evil spirit we're talking about. The spirit of smallness. The spirit of we can't make it. And verse 10 said, those that are you are sitting in judgment. You're not even walking free on the highways. You can't even walk down your street. Can't even walk down your road. So you're sneaking around. You're going all these highways. They're empty, so you're going in the back ways. Now, you're supposed to be at the gates. Each village had a gate because judgments were at the gate. In Israel, they didn't have a courthouse. They had gates. All of the reckoning, all of the legal procedures, all of the property, everything was legally at the gates where the elders sit. It'd be your city hall. It'd be your courthouse. Remember Boaz went to the gates and the elders were at the gates? Remember? Remember? That's where all the business was done. That's where the courts and tribunals were held. So look what's happening here. And Deborah says, look at this. It's an amazing thing. Incredible. There's not anybody here to fight the battles? No, because that's the spirit of smallness. In Ezekiel chapter 37. All right? Look at verse 24. It's important. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. That's what you do. And they shall do them. You follow the Lord. Do your assignment. Do your assignment. And then in Leviticus, chapter number 18, verse 4. Leviticus, chapter number 18, verse 4. And ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. How can you do his judgments if you don't know what they are? If you don't know what they are, how do you do them? Then 1 Kings chapter 6, 1 Kings chapter 6, 11 and 12. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art building, look at this, thou will walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them. Then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. The ability to know what judgments are. God says, you walk before me, or you come before me, face to face. When you're before a person, it's face to face. It's not side by side or back. It's face to face. Direct relationship with the lawgiver. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. But this is what this spirit does. It creates a, well, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if God will hear me if I pray. I don't know if I can ever. I mean, I can't go to God. I mean, God's not going to hear me. That's that spirit in operation. And we see that every day. Well, God's not going to listen to me. There's no sense in me going to God. I'm nothing. That spirit, too. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror to him that loved me and gave himself for me. I'm more than that. I am a victor. I have total victory all the time. And because of that, the spirit that we're talking about today cannot impact my life, cannot impact my heart. He's not going to tell me that God can't do something. And he's not going to tell me that I can't be successful. Because back in Joshua, God told Joshua, if you follow my precepts, you'll be successful and prosper. More tomorrow on this spirit that affects so many Christians.